All right, good morning to all of you all, and thank you for coming today. And we're going to continue on in our study with the prayer of protection. I hope it's blessing you and you're learning lots of things, and that the Lord's just ministering to you, and that when you're going out about your day and that things are coming to your remembrance, you know, that you've learned. And I know it is for Dusty and I. We talk about it and causing it to work in your everyday life, and that you're seeing life different, you know. I hope that you are. And, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the Word, that's what the Word will do. It'll change us, change the way we think, change the way we see things, and change our heart. And but I want to open in prayer this morning, and then we'll get started with what we have for today. Father God, I just bless you and thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to visit together with this class. And I believe, Father, it's ordained by you. I believe you picked this book out, that you put it on my heart. And so I thank you for teaching us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that will cause things to become clear to us and give us revelation. Holy Spirit, sir, we just ask you to do that. We need a revelation of Psalms 91 in our lives. We need you to teach us how we can live above and beyond fear and receive the protection that is ours, that's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And so we ask that you would just talk to us today. And we just thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Like I say, I listened back to the last time that we were together, and we looked at chapter 5. It's called Fearless Living. I put it up on the board there, Psalms 91, verses 5 and 6. I made that personal. Instead of you, I put I, you know, I hope that's what you're saying. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And one quote from the book I added, in the midst of all that's happening in the world, I can be fearless when I know the Lord as the God of peace. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really, I believe, that God's going to give us a revelation of, is that he is a God of peace. I think we probably could say that to anybody that would ask, you know, what does God provide for you? What is God to you? We can say, well, he provides peace and all. But I want us to know and really know revelation that God is a God of peace. Mm-hmm. And it, no matter what comes across your path, no matter what you may see or what may happen in your life, that as we learn from this chapter, that'll be what will rise up in your heart, that God is a God of peace. And so last week we talked some about fear. It's my heart that as we read this book, well, actually, as we read the whole book, but as we read this chapter, that, you know, we'll be delivered from any fears that we would have in our lives. And remember we did the phobias, all the different phobias, and talked about a quote from Brian Kingery, that ministered a few Sundays back, and he talked about David and Goliath, and he addressed, Brian did, that giants are real, and we don't need to pretend and think that they'll go away. And so we discussed that a little bit. But we're moving on into the book. I'm going to start with, let's see, what page is it? It's page 67, the very first one in the chapter. And what I do is I read from the book, and then we share thoughts and comments. And this is a class that's, you know, open, so we do that. This is what he says. I love how Psalms 91 reminds us that we have round-the-clock protection. Whether it's at night or in the day, whether it is in darkness or at noonday. And that's what, you know, we looked at up here. I circled those. I hope you been thinking on that. Night, day, darkness, noonday. God never sleeps. The Word says He doesn't slumber or sleep. And so I think sometimes things are magnified at night. You ever been by yourself and you heard a noise or you've whatever, or you're out driving by yourself? It's probably us women are more susceptible to that probably than you men are, but anyway. But, you know, here we can say, okay, we're covered. Day, night, darkness, noonday. And you think, oh, well, yeah, I'm sure I am. But when you think about it, I think it helps when you're in situations and you can say, okay, Psalms 91 says, you know, I'm covered in all of those times. It says, whether we're faced with a terror or confronted by an arrow, whether pestilence threatens or destruction looms. And we're going to discuss what terror and arrow and pestilence and destruction, we'll tear those apart here in a little bit. We do not have to be afraid because our God who watches over us neither slumbers nor sleep, which I referred to just a minute ago. The reality is the world we live in seems to be engulfed in negative news, and fear seems to be the most natural and normal response. And you know, and as I read that, I thought, by golly, dang it. Don't y'all just like that, by golly, dang it. But you know what? We live in a time that everything is so magnified because of social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear about things within 5 seconds. I'm not second, but a minute sometimes after it happens. I mean, it's that quick. We find out about something. And we really have to guard our heart, because if we don't, it will feed. If we have any fear in our life at all, it will feed fear, or it will bring a suggestion. You know, Dusty was telling me something that he read on his phone. And well, you know, we went to Roanoke. I don't remember what day it was now, honey. Saturday?
Friday.
We went to Roanoke, and we came back, and we were coming up 460. Well, we saw an accident. We didn't see it happen, but we saw the result of it, and one part of it was a motorcycle. And, man, you know, we just started praying, and but, you know, when you see a motorcycle, well, anyway. So I look on my phone the next day, and, you know, the man had passed away. And anyway, so I'm telling him about that. You know, it was sad. You know, I just wanted to cry when I saw it anyway. And so, but I believe our prayers helped in some fashion, mm-hmm. some way.
Yes.
But then Dusty goes on and he wants to proceed to tell me about this wreck out in California with these tractor trailers and whatever. And I said, stop. I don't want to hear it. Oh, go ahead.
You know what's interesting about social media?
Uh-huh.
You talk about feeding your fears.
Uh-huh.
Is it learns your patterns as you look on it. So if you happen to look at a wreck, it'll bring you every wreck across the nation.
Oh, that's true. It does do that, doesn't it?
So it feeds that fear. So if you're looking at stuff that you're intrinsically fearful of, it'll feed that even more.
Yeah.
As you look at it.
So, wow. And I had noticed that, a certain few things that I like to look at sometimes. I thought, oh, well, this is popping up here. And
yeah.
And then I forgot about that. Thank you, Pastor.
That's why I look at car parts and then they pop up on her phone. I don't have social media.
Okay. Can you handle that, Teresa?
Delete.
Delete.
You send anything back, Teresa?
Oh my! So, but that is the truth.
That's awesome.
That is the truth. So, you know, and that is something to be aware of, and to not allow that to feed, because it can just right up here. It just gets bigger and bigger. And here we're learning Psalms 91, and we're looking at the Word, and so it's counteractive. And I just, you know, I really ask the Lord when I'm preparing for this class to bring to my remembrance anything that He wants me to share. And I'm going to take the time to share this because He just brought this to my remembrance. I remember listening years ago to it was a cassette tape then. I couldn't even tell you who the minister was. But I remember listening to it, and he talked about the effect of watching things on TV. And, you know, he wasn't against TV, but certain things that you could watch. And he said that God had showed him that, you know, you're in the Word, you're learning the Word, you're hearing the Word, and you can go and watch a TV program, and that TV program can help steal the Word that you've just listened to. And that sometimes it takes God a long time, this is how he put it, to clean up what you've just watched. So, and I took that into my heart. Of course, my thing was, I'm never going to watch TV again. You know, I'm so black and white. But, of course, when I watch TV, but I got a real life experience out of that. We were living in our home, and Dusty and I had been out, and we came back in, and our sons were still home then. They were younger, and they had gotten Kool-Aid. It was Kool-Aid. And you know those couple... Was it grape juice? Mm. Yes, it was. It's grape juice. Those pitchers by Tupperware that's got the push-button top on it that goes down. Well, they were getting it off. Well, that's not hard to, easy to do sometimes. Well, they spilt the grape juice in the kitchen, but the top rolled into the living room where we had just put down new carpet. And it was a cream-colored carpet. Anyway,
with an orange tint.
Great. Well, the thing of it was, it was in little spots. Thank God, by the time it rolled there, most of it was off. So, you know, here I am. Anyway, so I knew it needed to be cleaned up. And Pete Price went to the church here and worked out in Santico. And I went by and he said, Wanda, there is nothing. There is no cleaner you can get that will clean this out. I said, okay. And so I went home and I said, okay, God, how can I clean this out? Well, I got to looking at it and it was on the top of the fibers. It hadn't gone down in. So I got on my hands and knees and I'm clipping just the little tiniest bit. I'm not telling you it was an extreme amount, but it was enough that if I'd left it, you could see it. I'm down on my hands and knees and it took quite a bit of time. And God spoke to my heart. He said, this is what I have to do to clean up what you watch sometimes. It took time. Mm-hmm. And I was cleaning up something. I mean, I never have forgotten it. And you know, a song says that you put no vile thing before your eyes.
I like what Proverbs says. It says, in chapter 4, it says, to my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And whose responsibility is it to keep?
It's ours.
It's ours. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you didn't mind me sharing that, but that impacted me. And, you know, and I'd like to tell you I've been so diligent. You know, but there are some things I will not watch. And especially with violence. Gene, I'll get you in just a second. Violence, and Dusty knows, I won't watch him with it. Because this is the way I think violence does. It causes you to become dull. You get conditioned to it when you watch it on TV. So then you're not moved when you hear violence happening, you know, whether it's a bombing or a shooting. Just think about it. Just think about these things. And I'm not saying do this or don't do that or nothing. But, you know, here we are. We're learning Psalms 91, and we're learning how to not be afraid. But we've got to be aware of what we're feeding on. Because if we're not willing to make that change, then we might as well stay home and sleep an hour longer. You know what I'm saying? Because
yes.
You read it, Kelvin. Mm-hmm. It's up to us. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gene.
I was flipping through channels the other night and came in on a program, and I was watching it, and I was very aware in just a few minute or two, that I wasn't supposed to be watching it. Anyhow, it wasn't all that bad, but it was bad for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't hear the Lord say turn it off, but I was very aware that I needed to move on from that channel.
Yeah. You know on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And I think with different, you know, you don't put this on nobody. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, don't watch, blah, 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 blah. Right. You have to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you to know, because it's going in your ear gates and your eye gates. And you know what? If faith can come by hearing, fear can come by hearing.
That's right. And you know, I still remember the part that I saw of that thing.
And that's
so
something.
I know what you're talking about. When the Lord takes a while to clean it up.
Yes, He does.
So it talks about washing of the water by the Word.
Yes.
Sometimes it takes a lot of water.
A lot of water. Yeah. But the sad part of it, Kelvin, is sometimes we're doing a little bit more of the other than the washing the water of the Word.
Yeah.
You know, and so it takes, you know, you just have to listen to the Holy Ghost for yourself and all. But we just have to be aware of, we're studying this, but we've got to be aware of what we're doing on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you submitting yourself to? What is creating fear in your heart? Or, you know, we don't hide our head in the sand. We don't have to be ignorant, but you can't feed on it.
Right.
You know, we hear about the bombings. You know that, okay, we can pray. We pray for those people, but you don't want to feed on it. We feed on the Word, right?
Right.
Marilyn?
What comes to me says that you should feed what you want to grow.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Feed what you want to grow and choke what you want to die. Mm-hmm. That's great.
That is.
Feed what you want to grow, choke what you want to die. What you want to die. Okay, well, we're feeding today. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be up to all of us individually to choke out what we want to die. Okay?
Right.
All right. He goes on to say that in the short time that he's been writing this book, he's seen several reports of senseless terrorist attacks on innocent civilians, horrific accidents with multiple victims, epidemics affecting entire communities, leading to hundreds of babies being born with deformities, heart-rending to say at least, and his thoughts and prayers have been with him. Seeing all this, he knows that many can't help but dread the same tragedies that could befall them. When I was reading that, I was reminded of, I believe it's the Copelands that say this, you know, like the epidemic that infects an entire community. You know, when you hear of that, you need to say, not in my house,
right.
Not in my town, not in, you know, you speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember several years back when, after the terrorist attack, the Lord had the Copelands teaching on fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot. And, you know, and he just encouraged everybody, you say, no fear here. No fear here. No fear here in my heart. You know, no fear here in my mind and my emotions. No fear in my home. But here again, mm-hmm. you got to feed what you want to grow and choke what you want to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Huh? You got to guard your heart.
Guard your heart, yes. Mm-hmm. Continually, with all diligence. And I guess, you know, we've already said the way you guard your heart is it's what you set your eyes to and what you hear. And anyway, let's look on the page 68. In the midst of all that's happening in the world, you can be fearless when you know the Lord is the God of peace. You know, let me say this right here. You know, we talked about in some previous chapters and you know, we probably experienced it ourselves that, you know, we pray Psalms 91 and yet, you know, things happen and all. But I think maybe we've hit a key today on maybe an answer to that sometimes is it's the fear that could be in your heart. You know, praying Psalms 91 is not a magic thing.
Right.
It's not. It's like, I'll pray Psalms 91 and, you know, everything will be taken care of. Now, and let me clarify that. You do pray Psalms 91 and you believe everything will be taken care of. But, you know, you've got to do that out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be out of relationship. It's just not just something that you do. I mean, I've done it just something to do, you know, that this was something that I could do to help keep us all safe and all this and that. But I'm learning through this book and some other things, it's out of relationship. This is a provision from our Heavenly Father out of His love for us. Mm-hmm. And so you grow. I guess I'm saying we're growing in this.
Right.
We're growing in it. And we'll grow in revelation. See, there was revelation. Y'all realize it this morning. There was revelation flowing mm-hmm. as we were talking. That's how revelation comes. And it, you know, and I so appreciate you sharing, because what God reveals to you can help somebody else. So we're growing in our revelation. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we'll grow in that place of understanding the protection. I find myself saying now, God, I'm not going to take my protection for granted. I'm trusting you. I'm putting my trust in you. You know, and because I'm learning that, you know, I'm asking you for it, but you know, I want you to know my heart. I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting just because I prayed it. Because I've done that in the past. But I'm praying it, and I'm releasing with all my heart, and I'm releasing my faith. And I'm trusting you to keep us safe when we go, everywhere we go, whatever we do. Because it's a promise. It's a provision from our Father God. How to live fearlessly. This is where we're going to get into really some good stuff. Romans chapter 15 ends with the Apostle Paul saying, "Now the God of peace be with you all." You might ask, isn't God with us all the time? This is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. Why then did Paul specifically say, "The God of peace be with you all"? Isn't that a good question? Mm-hmm. Why did he say that? He goes on and says, what Paul was speaking over the people was for God to manifest himself as the God of peace in their lives. Mm-hmm. This was a real eye-opener to me. The whole book is, but in other words, even though God is always with us, we might not always experience Him as the God of peace. Do you know what happens when God manifests Himself as the God of peace in your life? I just thought this was really cool. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So, would you say we need a revelation of God as the God of peace? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a revelation. You know, I know when I got saved, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I know that. But I mean talking about knowing Him as the God of peace. Knowing Him as the God of peace when you get a call that's not a good call. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not always the bodily harm things. Or let's say, you know, you get a call into the office and you're laid off from work. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when the God of peace needs to surround your heart and your emotions and all of that. Or when you find out that one of your kids has run off and got married and you didn't know they were. I mean, you know what? Whatever fits in your life, or that kind of thing. Or you've gotten a bad report. You know, from the doctor or whatever. It's knowing the God of peace. That really made me think about that. The God, do I really know Him as the God of peace? Am I letting Him be the God of peace in every area of my life? And I need to, because the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. I honestly did not know that scripture verse. I think I've heard it, but I didn't know it in the context of what he's teaching it here. And man, go ahead.
One that most everybody here knows, our friend Kurt Gibson, when he was living down where we lived before he moved to Charlottesville, he was at our house one night and he got a phone call and somebody said, "Mr. Gibson, your house is on fire." And so Gene and Kurt jumped in the truck and went around there, and was the flame shooting out the window? And he said that Kurt said, "I am not moved by what I see." Now, wow. You talk about peace. I am not moved by what I see. And the Lord restored all.
Yeah. well, just like you said, he came out to the good on that. His house was restored. I mean, it was better than new, and money-wise, he was ahead.
Wow. So the God of peace, the peace of God garrisoned around his heart, his mind, and his emotions. But the God of peace kept fear.
The scripture says that he will keep you in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on him.
Yeah.
And his was. When he got saved, he was radically saved. I mean, he dug into the Word and accessed it and took it for himself. And,
yes.
I mean, it was a joy to be around him because you couldn't be the same way you were.
He's a good guy.
You know, he inspired you to get it for yourself.
And to be better.
And to be better, yes.
Yeah.
So he had a revelation of that, and that guarded his heart when he saw those circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, if we've been in this I've been in this since my mother carried me to church when I was 2 weeks old or so. And so we begin to take things for granted sometimes because of what, you know, we're familiar with.
Yes.
And we take it for granted. But he was probably as far the other way before he got saved. And he realized what God was and could do and would do and was his. And
he took him at his word.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we've got to do. I mean, we can claim him for our peace when we need peace, our comfort when we need comfort, our whatever we need, mm-hmm. because he's made all those promises.
Mm-hmm.
And as many as the promises are, they're ours in Christ, in Jesus.
Yeah, they are. they are.
So whatever we need him to be, he is.
He is. We just, some of us have a little bit more revelation in certain areas in other areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's everything. He's everything.
And this is what this class is doing. It's giving us more revelation in areas maybe that we need.
Right. For each one of us, it's different because we're all in different places.
That's right.
But we're availing ourselves to the Word, and so that revelation is coming. I think it's interesting. We're going to go on here and how he expounds on this. He says, do you see what the God of peace will do in your life? He'll crush every fear, every worry, and every anxiety. That's pretty tremendous, isn't it? Now, walking that out.
Yeah.
This
That's
is
what, a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a choice.
It is.
Do you see grace in that verse as well? Mm-hmm. Grace is the only thing against which the devil has no defense. If you are living, now we listen to this, if you're living by your obedience and merits, because sometimes we determine our peace by how good we've been. How good we're living. See, Kurt he'd been on the other side. He'd lived probably some pretty interesting things. And so when it came to him, he knew from where he had come.
Right.
Some of us hadn't experienced that.
Right.
And so it was very real, very, very real to him. And but this is interesting. If we've been living by our obedience and merits. If you are living by your obedience and merit, the devil has power over you because he can always point to something that you have not done. So, let me go on. This gives him dominion over you. If you claim God's protection and healing based on what you have done, the devil, who is a master accuser, just has to point his bony finger to one thing you failed in. And all your faith implodes. Not explodes, but implodes. You will disqualify yourself mentally and inwardly from receiving whatever you might be trusting the Lord for. Now, this works in every area, not only just protection. But, you know, if you determine your peace that you have with God by your performance, some days you're going to have peace and some days you're not going to have peace.
That's right.
We have to learn that peace comes because of what Jesus has done.
That's right.
Not whether you've been a good little boy today or a good little girl. Because your performance is never enough. Your performance will never be enough. If it had been enough, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. If we could have been good, we wouldn't have sinned. We wouldn't have needed a Savior. See, this throws a whole different picture on it. And all. Because I know people. I just know. I know one of them very personally. That, you know, you go through times in your life and you judge your peace with God by how you've been living your life.
How you perform.
And all. And we can put that on people too. Mm-hmm. And religion will put it on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, don't you? I mean, you know, well, let me just, I want to read a scripture here. Romans 5:1. It's one of my favorite scriptures. This confirms what he's saying here. Romans 5:1 in the King James says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? Justified by faith. Doesn't say you were good today, therefore you're at peace with God. Listen to the Amplified. It's a lot of words, but boy, does it take it apart. Therefore, since we are justified, and then in parentheses it's got acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. I love that. We have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. And it's because, and then it goes on to say, peace with God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You know, you have to be secure in this. For everything in your life. I mean, really, I was going to say to really take hold of the protection that is ours, but you have to be secure in this for other things as well. Another scripture that I wanted to read you is in 1 John. No, I'm going to hold off on this one. That one will come up here if we can get to it in just a minute. So anyway, if Satan has any dominion over you, if you claim God's protection and healing based on what you have done, the devil, who is a master accuser, just has to point his bony finger to one thing you have failed in and all your faith implodes. I needed to read that again. You will disqualify yourself mentally and inwardly from receiving whatever you might be trusting the Lord for. But grace is the undeserved, unearned, and unmerited favor of God. Is the basis of your faith, the devil has no defense. That is why we put our faith in the blood of Jesus when we talk about protection. His sinless blood was shed to pay the price for the guilty one. And because Jesus paid the price, we who are in him have a right to walk in divine health and protection. Grace qualifies us for protection. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Grace qualifies you for protection, not your performance, not how much of the word you know, because that can be a performance, not how many times you go to church. Grace. Amen. When the devil accuses you of saying, how dare you believe God for protection, when you are, and he'll go on and list your failures. You just have to point to Jesus' blood, which is paid for all of your failures. With grace as your basis, the God of peace can reign over your fears and impart to you unshakable faith for his protection. And I was reminded of this, of what Brother Copeland said about grace. You know, I remember them saying that he'd questioned the Lord for years about grace. The real true definition of grace. He knew it was, you know, the ability to do what you can't do on your own. And he just really pressed in and pressed in. And then one day he heard God say that grace was God's overwhelming desire to treat us as if we have never sinned. Man, grab a hold of that. This is who we are in Christ. And when the body of Christ grabs a hold of this and lets go of all the performance stuff, then we'll rise up and we'll be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll walk in the authority that, you know, God has. Jesus paid the price for us to walk in. But God wants to treat me and you, all of us in this room, as if we have never sinned. So when he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this earth. When he looks at us, he sees Jesus. Now that's God on his end, but we got to see it on our end. We got to receive it, you know. And it's just a process of, if you think anything contrary to that, it's a process of renewing your mind. I want to read from let's go on with perfect love casts out all fear. We're just going to touch on this one for a minute. I want to ask you a question. The Lord told me to ask you a question. He said, ask him what that means to you. What does that mean to you? Perfect love. What does that mean to you? God's perfect love. I mean, if you're willing to share.
I think it's when you sent Jesus to go to the cross for us.
Okay.
How much greater love would that?
There's no right or wrong answer. There's just what you think. I mean, what does that, when you hear perfect love casts out all fear, what does that bring to you? What thoughts do you have? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Does it seem unattainable? Does it seem too big? Does it seem impossible to walk in that perfect love to a degree that there will be no fear in your life?
I don't think perfect. We think it's flawless or. But I think in this is it's a maturity thing. To me, I mean, it's like for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, it's something that you grow into. His love's perfect, but perfecting in you means a growing and a maturity in it. You know.
You know, if this doesn't anything more than just stir up your thoughts about how you feel, you know, about God's perfect love, then, you know, but he did. He told me, he said, ask him the question. What comes to mind when you think about? Judy, do you want to say something? We got about 2 minutes.
Okay. I never thought I'd have perfect love for a snake. But last summer, I had to help Jean extricate a black snake from some black netting that I had put up in my flower bed. And I had to hold the snake's head with a stick while he worked to get it out of there. And my fear of snakes was the concern for that of God's creatures was greater than my fear of snake. I knew in my mind the snake, they're not harmful snakes.
Yeah, right.
And so I never thought that I would feel that way about a snake, but I did, and I was able to help him, you know, do that. And I thought about that verse, that perfect love casts out fear. And I'm not saying I love the snake, but I didn't want to see it die by something that I did, which was put that stuff over there.
Right. Okay. That's a thought. Well, I think... Go ahead, Mike.
I was just saying,
Yeah.
His trust.
Trust.
I've got fear areas because I don't trust God in that area. So I'm just perfecting that. It's just to where in every area of my life, I don't have a fear because I'm trusting God.
Okay. Do you want to make a statement? Then I'm going to close with the scripture verse.
I look at it from perfect love cast out fear. I look at it from fear of death. You know, I have no fear of death. And that's something that we can, every Christian can say.
Mm-hmm.
But, we, you know, that, there's no fear there of dying. I mean, you know, I'm not looking to die, but there's no fear of it. And that's because I know what's
on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And it's what lies beyond is because of God's perfect love.
Right. Well, I think I'm going to give you this scripture verse. It's 1 John 4:10, because you've all kind of came from it in a direction that I thought you might or would or whatever. It seems like the body of Christ, when we talk about God's love and one some of the thing comments that you made today, it's always God's, we kind of tend to, how can I put this in the right words? Maybe I just need to just leave it for next time. Let me share this scripture verse. 1 John 4, verse 10. And this is love. This is what love is. Not that we love God, but that He loves us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I believe what we're going to find out in this chapter, it's not so much about our love for Him, but it's His love for us. Yeah, it's His love for us. And to me, when we say perfect love casts out all fear, it has nothing to do with my love for God. It's all His love for me. And His love is perfect. And I believe that's what we'll see as we go along in this book. And when we understand His perfect love for us, that's when fear will begin to dissipate, if there is any, you know, in our lives. Because, you know, we've been taught for years that, you know, it's all about our love for other people. And we've missed out having a revelation of God's love for us. This is something for you to think about. But we haven't we? The love walk, our love walk, our love walk, our love walk. But you know what? You cannot give away what you don't have. And if you don't have a revelation of God's perfect love for you, you'll never give that away to somebody else. It's just like if I can't give, I can't give Judy money if I ain't got it to give. So ponder on that. Got that? That's homework for here, now, next week. Make sure you read the next two or three pages. We're going through this and so fast, I just can't stand it. But anyway, but you know what? We're getting it, right?
Amen.
Are we getting it? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to find out about perfect love and what it'll do in our lives. And thank y'all so much.